we're looking at today. What does close friendship look like? What does the Bible teach us? What does the Bible say about friendship and being friends? And friends come in all shapes and sizes, don't they? Every friendship is unique because all people are unique. And so every combination of people is going to be a unique relationship. And I think friendship is a bit like a diamond. If you hold a diamond, it's got different facets, different sides to it, and you turn it around, you see different aspects. I think a friendship is like that. It's like a multifaceted gem. And there's lots could be said about friendship. Today we won't be comprehensive. We're not going to say everything that could be said. We're going to muse on friendship based on some of the scriptures that we're reading. And I hope that you will also be able to share your experience of friendship as we go through the day, because there's a lot of experience and value in the room. And I really hope that you're able to do that, whether it's in the formal times. It'll be short bits, we can chat with one another, but please take opportunity over coffee and over lunch to share your experience of friendship. Well, we've read two examples in the Bible of friendship, say Ruth and Naomi and Jonathan and David, and we're going to pick up bits as we go through this morning from them. We could have thought of others, you know, in the New Testament, Paul and all his friends, and but friendship is more central to the Bible than you might initially think. It's not just the examples alone that talk about friendship. I would say that the origin and the meaning of friendship is actually rooted in God himself. So what's the basis of our capacity and our desire for friendship? I would say it's rooted in who God himself is, because God himself is relational. We can't explain it all, we can't grasp it all, but Father, Son, and Spirit are in an eternal relationship of love. And that is the root of what friendship, good friendship is. We, in Genesis 1 and 2, we read, God is in essence relational, Father, Son, and Spirit. And in Genesis 1 and 2, we read that we're created in God's image. So if God is relational and we're created in his image, there's something within us that has a desire for relationship. We're created out of the relationship of the Father, Son, and Spirit. There, in God himself is relational even before. God didn't create us because he was lonely. You know, he's already in relationship. We're created out of that relationship and for relationship. So it's hardwired into us, you could say, that we long for relationship with other people. Long for relationship with God, that's what we need, relationship with God, but also relationship with other people. We're made for it, we're wired that way. And so in Genesis 2, 18, God says it's not good for man, it's not good for human beings to be alone. That's not how we were made. We were made to be together with others. Now, that's true, and obviously that's a verse we would go to when we talk about marriage, but I would say it's not just about marriage, because not everybody gets married, and actually it is something more profound that it's said about every human being. It's not good to be alone. That's why putting people in solitary confinement is so inhumane, because it denies them the thing that God has wired into them for relationship. And because our relationships come out of the fact that we're made in the image of God, I would say every relationship then is an opportunity to reflect something of what God is like. So in our friendships, in our marriage, in our, you know, parent-child relationship, every relationship we have, including friendship, is an opportunity to reflect something of God's image that he's planted within us. So as we live out our relationships, it's really important. God is bothered. God is interested in, and he values how we live in our relationships of various sorts. And there are all sorts of different relationships in life, isn't there? But today we're focusing on this particular one, on friendship. Well, before we go any further, I'm going to ask you to think a little bit about a good friend of yours. Okay? We're not going to have a lot of time to discuss, but I want you to spend a little bit of time just on your own. Think of a good friend of yours. It might be someone in the present, It might be a friendship from the past. What have you valued about that person? What was it about that person that you valued as a friend? In what way has that person blessed you? It's another way of asking the same question, really. What was it about that person that blessed you? We know they weren't perfect. That's okay. You don't have to come up with everything, but just a few thoughts. What did you value about that friend? And then secondly, what were you able to contribute to that friendship? What did you contribute to them in that friendship? So I just want you to think of a specific friend. Okay? We're not going to say everything about friendship in this, but just one specific friend. I'm going to give you 3 minutes to ponder that friend. What did you really value in them? And what were you able to contribute to the friendship? So just you might want to jot a few things down as you ponder that for a minute or two. Okay, I'm going to pause you there. You may well want to add more as you go through the day. I hope you'll be able to share some of that with one another at different points in the day as well. Well, I saw my friend Chris this week. And Chris and I became friends in our very first week at university. So we were aged 19. That was quite a long time ago. We've known each other several decades. And our friendship has changed quite a bit over the years as we've gone through the different changing scenes of life. At university, we were really close. And Chris, well, I'm very grateful to God for her because she took me along to the Christian Union. She and her and our other friend, Helen, they decided without me, they decided we're going to form a prayer triplet, and I was the third person they pulled in. And really in my first year, if it hadn't have been for Chris, I don't know where I'd have ended up Christian-wise. So I'm very grateful because Chris helped me to put down very good roots as a young adult in my Christian life. We left university, Chris got married soon afterwards, and in that time our paths diverged again. We didn't see so much of each other, and life caused us not, you know, the paths to diverge, and we, you know, kind of were closer to other friends for a period. Then when I went to live overseas for a while, Chris rang me up and she said, "I think it's going to be tough for you living overseas. I'm going to ring you every week." And she did that. She rang me every week. To pray with me on the phone. And it was a lifeline, it really was. And then we went for another few years where we didn't have a lot of contact when I came back. But more recently, I think we've both gone through some difficult times and we've connected again. And it's really great to be able to spend time with one another again. We've had joys and challenges in our family life, both of us. We've had demanding work situations. And I think I would say, as I was thinking about it this week, we've both been humbled by the passage of life. Maybe some of you that are older understand that phrase. Life humbles us. And we haven't always agreed with one another, Chris and I, and we still don't always agree with one another, but we're free to express that, and we still love each other. We can speak honestly with each other and accept each other. And this mug, I don't think Chris gave it to me, but it does sum up my friendship with Chris. It says on here, "We'll always be friends," and on the other side it says, "I know too much." Chris knows things about me that nobody else knows. She's shared parts of my life that nobody else has shared. And that is very precious. And she's going through a particularly difficult time at the moment. But as we left seeing each other on Thursday, she said to me, "I'm praying for you daily." She's praying for me daily when she's going through a difficult time. That's a good friend. I hope you can reflect on some friendships of your own. But let's just ponder a little bit some of the characteristics of healthy friendships. And I want to draw on a little bit from the two passages that we read, those two friendships. I would encourage you to read those again in your own time. We obviously, as with the David and Jonathan passages, we just picked a few verses because their friendship account is over two or three chapters. The first thing I'd say about a healthy friendship is choice. We choose our friends, don't we? Friendship is a choice. As they say, you don't choose your family, you don't choose your neighbours. You don't choose your other church members, but you do choose your friends, those that you're going to draw close to. And each one freely chooses to develop the relationship, each friend. And therefore, we can't expect friendship with everybody. And almost by definition of friendship, we have a right to decline growing closer in friendship. It's not a compulsion, it's a choice. That's the thing about friendship, isn't it? It's a choice, it's a free choice. And we see that with Ruth choosing to stay with Naomi. Naomi urged her to go back to her own people. She said, no, I want to stay with you. I'm going to stay with you. Your people are going to be my people. Where you are, that's where I'm going to be. It was her free choice to do that. We think of Jonathan and David, and that was a free choice, a very unlikely choice. Jonathan was the son of King Saul, kind of the prince and the one that everyone would expect to become king next. David, who was he? A shepherd boy. Yeah, that's what his background was, shepherding. Very different backgrounds, but they chose to be friends. We should choose well, therefore. Make a good choice. There's a Proverbs, a great place to go to mine richness about friendship. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm, says the Proverbs. Yes, choose well. Friends have a powerful impact on our life, so let's choose them well. The other thing about friendship is that it's accepted. That choice means that we're accepting the other person. Just like marriage, which is in a sense a special friendship, isn't it? But we go into friendship not to change the other person. When we're friends with someone, we're friends with them as they are. We accept them as they are. We might long for them to change, and that's probably they long for us to change. But we accept them as they are. That's part of, in a sense, what friendship is. So just check myself every now and again. Do I have an agenda for my friend? Am I trying to change my friend? Or am I leaving that to God? Because friendship needs to be an acceptance of who they are, which includes actually our non-Christian friends. If that person is my friend, I need to accept them as they are. I might pray for them, I'd long for them to become to know Jesus, but I need to accept them just as they are now. It's part of friendship. So choice is one thing. Equality, mutuality is another. Think of Jonathan and David. They could have been rivals, couldn't they? Here's David, he's been fighting in Saul's army. Here's Jonathan, he's the son of the king. They could have been rivals with one another. And yet actually, they deliberately... There's that beautiful bit where Jonathan takes off his robe and gives it to David. And gives him his tunic, his sword, his bow, his belt. It's a way of saying, we're equal. You know, I'm passing this to you. He's not pulling rank. Jonathan could have pulled rank with David, but he didn't. He kind of leveled things off, if you like. He's not threatened by David. And then we see Jonathan became one in spirit with David. He loved him as himself. So this equality, mutuality. We're on the same level. The minute somebody starts pulling rank in a friendship, you know, putting themselves superior to the other, that's when the friendship suffers. That's another sort of relationship, but it's not friendship. Think about Ruth and Naomi. Again, there's a generational difference, isn't there? Mother-in-law, daughter-in-law. Friendship is even possible within family relationships. They were from very different cultures and backgrounds. Naomi was an Israelite. She could have been very snobby about Ruth being a Moabite, but she accepted her. Different generations, different backgrounds and cultures, there was an equality. There wasn't a sense of superiority there. We may respect the role of the other person, but if it's going to be friendship, there needs to be a sense of equality. So I need to ask myself, how do I express equality in my friendships? What does that mean? That I regard my friend as my equal? Do I always need to have the last word? Do I always need to win an argument? Do I seek their opinion and value it? Or do I always think I know better than them? For me, one of the things that is important in friendship is around money, actually. I realised that. So that actually, for me, one of my friends, you know, is financially a lot better off than me. Well, actually, a lot of my friends are a lot financially better off than me. But One of the things that's important for me is that they don't always buy the coffee. They're financially better off than me, but I want to buy the coffee sometimes. I want to buy the lunch sometimes, because for me that communicates we're equal with one another. So how do we express equality in our friendship? How do we communicate that to our friend? Support, care, and concern for the other. Maybe it's obvious, isn't it? It's part of what friendship is. The other's good is the concern of a friend. Naomi was concerned for Ruth, that she had a husband, that she had the chance to have children. And in chapter 2, she takes some initiatives with that. But Ruth is also concerned for Naomi, to be with her, to accompany her, not to let her go back on her own as a widow. So there's a lovely mutual concern for one another going on. Again, the Proverbs, a friend loves at all times. A brother is born for a time of adversity. The parallel there, the sort of friend and brother, is almost interchangeable. A friend loves at all times. A brother is born for a time of adversity. A friend is there to give us support, gets involved with our problems and helps us to carry them. That's part of a friend, is carrying the burdens, isn't it? And being alongside in times of difficulty. There's another lovely passage, you're perhaps familiar with it, in Ecclesiastes 4. I often write this in wedding cards. I don't know if I wrote it in yours, Linda. Probably. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labour. There's many ways in which two are better than one. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the anyone who falls and has no one to help him up. I love that. A good friend is more concerned to see me on my feet again than to point out my stupidity, which made me fall in the first place. Right? A good friend is more concerned to see me on my feet again than to point out my stupidity. They might come alongside and give me some honest words later on, but that's their aim, is to see me on my feet again. And then the warmth thing, two will lie down together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? And I think that warmth, it may well have been about physical warmth then, without central heating and hot water bottles, but there's more to warmth, isn't there? There's the kind of warmth of love and acceptance. Having a friend that loves me and accepts me means I'm free to be myself. A true friend, then, is not just there for what they can get out of the relationship for themselves. They're there to support and help. There's an element of self-giving in a friendship when the friend can give nothing in return. Those times when we are down, we've fallen, we need help, for whatever reason, life has dealt us a blow, and we can't, at that moment, deliver back to our friend, but our friend helps us, comes alongside, picks us up, and gives us the support we need for that time. Friend is someone who's safe to share our heart with. I've mentioned that about Chris. She knows things about me that nobody else knows, and I'm safe in that friendship. I know she'll keep confidences. I know that she might disagree with choices I've made in life, but nonetheless, she accepts me and loves me as her friend. Trust grows with that openness and acceptance, and it takes time. It takes time. In a mature relationship, there's probably not too many no-go areas, not too many things that you can't talk about. Doesn't mean, as I said earlier on, it doesn't mean that we agree necessarily, but there's an acceptance. David and Jonathan, you see that they don't agree all the time. You see them have a few little arguments and whatever through the story. And how we handle disagreement, we might think about it a little bit more after coffee, is a test of friendship. And then loyalty, commitment, loyalty, faithfulness. Standing by a friend when others might reject them or think badly of them. Faithfulness, sticking with them through thick or thin. Ruth was faithful to Naomi. She stuck with her. The Bible has a very strong, actually, kind of, I would say, a full-blooded concept of close and intimate friendship. It's actually quite remarkable, given, you know, we're reading it in our today's society, that the words that are used in the Bible about friendship are also used, some of them, of marriage, and even of God's covenant relationship with his people. Those very same words are used about friendship. So let me give you a couple of examples. We read in read for us, but Ruth clung to Naomi. That is the same word as in Proverbs 18, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That's the same word. I don't know if it's saying it right, but in Hebrew it's debak. Well, that is actually the same word used in Genesis 2:24 of a husband and wife. Genesis 2:24, a husband holding fast and clinging, and a man will leave his father and mother and cling to his wife. It's that very same word, and here it's used of friendship. A friend whose closeness exceeds even a family bond. And family relationships in the ancient times were much stronger and much more valued even than today. So it seems the Bible is saying this is there is a friendship, not all friendships, but there can be a friendship that is comparable even to marriage in terms of commitment and loyalty and sticking together. Another word that's interesting is this one. So Jonathan became one in spirit with David. He loved him as himself. So he's talking about soulmates, kind of one in spirit, their souls bonding. And that word love, he loved him as himself, is the same word, hesed, as the love of God, the covenant love of God for his people, that enduring, loving kindness. It's the same word used. And then even... let's go back a minute. Jonathan made a covenant with David. I forgot to put that on the slide. But Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. A covenant, that's the word used of marriage, and it's also the word used of God's commitment to his people. A promise of love, loyalty, and commitment that is sacrificial and self-giving. Which David and Jonathan made that covenant. They made promises to one another in their friendship. Now, there are different levels of friendship. You know, some friends are, you know, acquaintances, other friends, yeah, they're close friends. But there is a friendship that the Bible talks about, that there is a place for an quite intense and intimate bond of love, loyalty, and commitment. You can't have that with many people. But there is a place in Scripture for that between friends. And I just want to say that in our concern, it's a very right concern to strengthen our concept of marriage based on Scripture, which we're needing to do in the church these days, aren't we? And it's very good that we do that. But as we do that, let's not make the mistake of diluting or shying away from affirming this very strong biblical concept of covenant friendship, covenant committed friendship, a soulmate. I do think it's tragic that in our society, they wouldn't cope with this friendship between David and Jonathan without saying it's definitely homosexual. And sadly, I think sometimes the church can't cope with it either, considers every loving, committed friendship as, well, it's probably really homosexual friendship. Let's recover that sense, biblical sense, that there is a close, intimate friendship that can be had that is friendship and not sexual. I'm going to miss the next slide just because of time. And then, most importantly, there is a friendship, the characteristics of healthy friendship, that it's founded and centred on the Lord. It's really important. We can't be everything to one another in our friendship. No one person can be everything for another person. Even a circle of friends can't provide and satisfy for the deep longings that we have. Not even marriage can do that. Only the Lord God can satisfy our deepest longings and needs. So we've got to be careful we don't look for in a friend what only the Lord can give us. For one thing, it's not fair on the friend. And for another thing, it's devaluing to God. We need to look to God for the things that only God can give us. And a friendship will be deeper and enriched if that friendship is based on a relationship with the Lord and has God at the centre. How did Ruth come to know the Lord? Well, she came to know the Lord presumably through Naomi sharing. How else would a Moabite woman have come to know the Lord? Maybe through her husband, but Naomi will have been part of that coming to know and accept the Lord, that Ruth has a very clear faith. And Naomi will have shared her faith despite her struggles, despite the hardships in life. She would have pointed Ruth to the Lord. And she continues to do that as the story unfolds. Think about David and Jonathan. Their friendship was founded on a shared commitment to the Lord. They didn't just have hobbies in common, go and see the football together, or, you know, go out and fight a war together. Their commitment is based on commitment to the Lord. That's the foundation of their friendship. And we think about other friends like Daniel and his friends in exile in Babylon, stood strong in faith because they supported one another, they prayed for one another. Back in that Ecclesiastes 4 passage, the very last line says, a cord of three strands cannot be broken. Two strands, two friends, yes, that's stronger than one. So it's great when you've got a friend, they can help you up. When there's two of you, it's good. But when there's three intertwined together, that's even stronger. And when that third one is the Lord, when the Lord Jesus, then that will be a stronger friendship, not easily broken. So there we are. Some characteristics, I think, of a healthy friendship. We'll come back to one or two things probably after coffee. Our primary relationship is with Christ, and that's where our identity needs to be. Our identity is always in Christ. We mustn't draw our identity from our friend. Our identity is in Christ. But once we've got that secure, and once we keep drawing on the love of God for us, then we're able to be a better and better friend. A good friend is one that doesn't just draw attention to themselves or to me. A good friend is one that helps me to look to the Lord and to follow him well, just as my friend Chris did at the beginning of our friendship and continues to do to this day, points me to the Lord. And together, we don't, as friends, we don't just sort of look at one another. In a sense, we look together at the Lord, look up to the Lord, and seek to serve his purposes, to pray together, to share God's word together, to serve together perhaps. Does it all sound a bit wonderful? It does, doesn't it? That's what we're aspiring to. That's kind of our ideal. David Benner, he's written a great book called Sacred Companions about Christian friendship. It's a lovely book. And he says the ideals of friendship should not be confused with the reality. So we hold together the ideals, but we're also realistic that we're both sinners. And putting two sinners in a friendship together, there's going to be some problems, isn't there? And I love that he says there in that second paragraph, true friendships do not demand perfection, but will realize that they can only offer themselves as they are in imperfection. I need to acknowledge my own weaknesses and imperfections, and I need to know my friend carries those as well. None of our friends are perfect, and we cannot be a perfect friend. And I think that realization helps us to guard against forms of idolatry. I must not make an idol of my friend. I must not worship my friend and think they can be all that I need. But neither actually, and I think it's more subtle, must I make an idol of myself and think that I can be the perfect friend. And I've gone through times earlier in life when I had to face up to the fact I wasn't actually the perfect friend I wanted to be. I wanted to be a really good friend. And I at times thought I was a good friend, and then had to realise, no, actually you're not. You're not the perfect friend, and you will never be the perfect friend. We need to face that and own that ourselves as well. We have aspirations, what the friendship to be and how we want to be as a friend, but we need to accept our own weaknesses, and we need to accept the weaknesses of our friend, and then enjoy the friendship with who they are and who we are. We're received by grace by one another, accepting one another for all the imperfections that the other one brings. And there's no other self I can bring, is there? I have to bring this one. There's no other self they can bring. They have to bring that imperfect self. And there's a sort of, there's a kind of a joy and a kind of praise the Lord about that. You know, we both need the grace of the other to recognise our own weaknesses and so on. And I think that's a mark of a Christ-centred friendship, actually, is that we acknowledge that. And hold out grace to the other. Well, after the break, we're going to think a little bit about some dynamics of friendships with imperfect people. We're going to look at Jesus as being our friend. You've got some sticky notes. And during the day, can I encourage you to just ponder something about friendship that you've learnt in life yourself that you'd like to share with others, that you think might be helpful for others? We've got a big room of people here. As I say, there's lots of experience and life experience, friendship experience in different settings and different personalities. I don't want you just to learn from hear from me. I want you to hear from one another. But it's a big group. It's difficult to, you know, just have lots of interaction. So the way we're going to do that is I'm going to encourage you to write on those post-it notes. And if you need more, you can go back to the desk at the front and get some more. And stick on here. Just one thought on each post-it note. I'd love to see a lot of notes up there by the end of the day, and we can potter up to there and put ours on and see what others have written. Just a way of sharing our experience with one another. So is there something about friendship that you've learnt in life that you'd love to share with others? Just put it in a little sentence, write it on there, nice and clear as you can. Stick it on there and we can all have a look and learn from one another's experience. We can do that over coffee break, you can do it over lunch, right up until the end of the day. But we'll leave it there. Already gone over. Shall I just pray? Yeah, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've created us relational people. And we thank you for the friends that you've given us over life so far and all that they've given into our lives to be a blessing to us. We thank you for them. We think, just hold before you, Lord, those people that we were all thinking about in this room quietly half an hour ago. We thank you for those people, whether they're living or whether they've passed on. We thank you for them. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to grow in our current friendships and our future friendships. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
See you after the break.
Okay, so...